Tonight, we are going to cover United Prayer and the Prayer of Worship. And this is excellent timing because right after this, we're going to then apply it and do it next week. Isn't God good the way he figures things out? So you can go ahead and open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. There's a couple places. Then after that, Philippians 4:16. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, and Philippians 4:16. And in Ephesians, this is our main text for this course, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we are not just to be going to God for our own personal needs, but also to be a vessel that God can use to go to him to pray for the needs of others to be met. In the Amplified, it says, all manner of prayer. Another translation reads, praying with all kinds of prayer. Now, if you're not there yet, you can turn to Philippians chapter 4. And in Philippians, it talks about be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4:6. So there are different types of prayer modeled for us in the scripture. We've looked at several different types. And again, tonight we're going to cover the United Prayer, the prayer of worship. So let me start by telling you this. We have done quite a bit of street witnessing in this church. And it seemed that we were having good results, but it just seemed like I wanted more divine encounters. We were witnessing to a lot of people, and a lot of people were saying yes to the gospel and receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior, but we weren't necessarily seeing them come into the church or become members. And if they don't do that, then how do you turn them into disciples? So we decided to start spending more time praying before we went out street witnessing. Get exact, just one before the last time that the team went out, we decided to spend more time in prayer, half an hour, hour, something like that, praying before then just going out. And as we prayed, we got into what you would call united prayer, where everybody agreed and prayed together. And what we prayed for was divine encounters. In other words, that we, that team would be led to the people that were ready to hear the gospel, and that it would be fruitful and productive, and that we would be able to get people to go from just saying yes to Jesus, which was good, but now yes to Jesus and get them into the church where they could be discipled. So we believe God for a divine encounter. And sure enough, Pastor Brad was out there as one of the team members, and as he was witnessing, he felt led to go up to a car where he saw some people sitting in there and just rather boldly reached into this vehicle and handed them a tract and started telling them about Jesus. And as he did that, it happened that there was a daughter and a mother in the car, and the daughter was witnessing to the mother about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Fantastic timing. And so then the mother really saw that as being, this is God, and God's confirming what you're saying to me, that this is right, and this is the way, and they've been to the church here several times. So God answered the prayer. When we spent more time in prayer, we started seeing more specific results. So united prayer is effective. You can go out and you can do something, and you can even do good works. But if you put a lot of prayer before your good works become a lot better and a lot more effective. Witnessing is a good thing to do. Street witnessing is a wonderful thing to do. Whatever works in getting people saved, wonderful. Use it. But it's even more effective when you lay a foundation of prayer first. So it's important for me to tell you this because this is similar to what we're going to be doing next week. We're going to come together and there's going to be united prayer. When we have united prayer, it doesn't mean everybody sits in the little corner and quietly prays their own little thing. Well, I don't want to bother anyone. I don't want to disturb anyone. You know, now it also doesn't mean that you need to yell at the top of your voice. You know, we heard, you know, Brother Hagin, you read through your reading that, you know, he at first when he was going to some of the meetings where they were having united prayer. They're praying out loud. He said to some of them, he said, you know, God's not deaf. You don't have to yell. He can hear you. But they responded to him and say, well, he's not timid either. So whatever you're comfortable with, but for it to be united prayer, there are also some other important factors that need to come in. And we'll see this as we look at the illustration laid out for us in Acts chapter 4, verse 24, where Peter and John lifted up their voice to God in one accord. So let's go ahead and turn there. So I'm gonna backtrack a little bit more than that too. If we go back to chapter 3, it gives us the account where Peter and John were going to the temple. And as they were going to the temple, there was a man outside the temple that was expecting to receive something from them, most likely money. And Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. And seizing him by the hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. So what happens is that this is a testimony. If we go down to chapter 3, verse 16, and on the basis of faith in his name, the name of Jesus, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man, whom you see and know, and the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. So they get to see somebody get healed, the crowd. But word starts to spread. And when word spreads, if we go over to chapter 4, verse 1, and as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid their hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. Many had heard the message and had believed. So in other words, God does a good work, God heals somebody, and then they get thrown in jail. In the perfect will of God, being used by God, they still got thrown in jail. But what happens is while they're in jail, they lift up their voices. Well, actually, they're released. Then they go to their own company. And now we're in chapter 4, verse 23. And when they had been released, because they can't find anything to hold against them, they threaten them. And they tell them, don't speak anymore in the name of Jesus. But when they can't find any basis to punish them, they let them go. When they let them go, Peter and John go to their own company, verse 23. Meaning they go find the people that believe like they believe. They go find the people that have faith, that believe the same doctrine that they believe. They go to the people that they know they can trust to pray with. And what do they do? With one accord, in verse 24, they lift up their voices to God and they pray. And as we continue and we follow along in there, we see their prayers. And now go to verse 29. So this is chapter 4, verse 29. And now, Lord, take note of their threats, because they were threatening them because they were preaching the gospel. And grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all confidence, or we could say great boldness. While thou dost extend thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of thy holy servant Jesus. They didn't ask that they'd go easier on him. They didn't ask that the trial be removed. What they asked for was boldness to continue preaching the gospel as they had been. That's what they asked for. And that God would be with them and God would demonstrate himself through signs and wonders. And after they had done that, we can see the results of united prayer then. When they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. There's the result of united prayer. So in their prayer, there's a couple things. Number one, they knew the value of united prayer. So they went to their own company to get them to pray with them. And they lifted up their voice. That means out loud. It wasn't quiet, silent praying. It was out loud. And they were specific with their prayer request. They prayed for boldness. They were specific. They were in agreement, and they were specifically asking for something. And then we see the results. I know there are two areas I've heard of. One is Toronto, and another one is an area called Brownsville in Florida, where they have had tremendous revivals. Maybe you've heard about it in some of the churches there. Have you heard of this? Great moves of God where people are just getting healed and the presence of God has moved just very, very strong. Yet if you go back and you ask them what brought on this move of God. In either place, you ask the pastors or you ask the people in leadership, and they will tell you that they had been asking for it. They had been in a time of united prayer, corporate prayer, everybody coming together, asking God to come move in their midst like that. So it's not just, well, gee, I wonder why they got blessed. I guess it's just God picks some people and God does it over there and we don't know why. No, that's not really the case. They got it because they asked. So there were people that so wanted the move of God and the presence of God that they were willing to get diligent and get serious about seeking Him. What does He say about those that diligently seek Him? He's a rewarder, right? So He rewards you when you diligently seek Him. Isn't it fun to be in the atmosphere of God, the presence of God when He's moving? I love sensing the presence of God. I love it when God heals people. I love it when God ministers to people. I love it when God speaks and you know it's God. It's fun. We've got an alive relationship with Him. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to be able to talk to Him. He's not a distant God to us. He's on the inside of us, longing to have that relationship that's alive, that's daily. In the morning we talk to Him. At night we talk to Him. We have access to God Almighty all the time. Isn't it wonderful? It's wonderful that we have access to Him and we can pray and He can hear us. He doesn't say, excuse me, I'm going to put you on hold. Somebody else is praying. Can you wait? I've got something going on in China that's really big. Okay, let me deal with that because it's almost night there. And so as soon as, you know, I get that dealt with, then I'll kind of come along and deal with your little parking spot. Right? Does He do that? No. Aren't you thankful? I'm so thankful because I'm sure there are really big, important things going on all around this wonderful world that He created. Really important Christians doing fabulous things for the kingdom of God, needing protection, needing Him to fulfill His word for them, needing those promises to come through. I'm sure there's wonderful things going on. Fabulous things. He's protecting people, but He can do all of it at the same time and still hear your prayer. Still hear your prayer. And it doesn't max Him out. It doesn't put Him over the top. Isn't He great? He's so great. He's so great. So that is the prayer of united prayer that we looked at there. United prayer. Now we're going to go ahead and we're going to switch over to the prayer of worship. I want you to keep these in mind as we're going into next week and having that time of prayer together. And when we go into that next week, I want all of you up front praying. I don't want you to kind of just mix in with whatever crowd we have here, but I want you up front because you're full of the Word of God. You've got the Word in you and you've been taught. You've been taught on prayer. So I want you to be leaders in prayer. That means I want you stepping out in boldness. I want you praying out loud. Pray as you're led, okay? All right? So go for it. Now, the united prayer, they were asking for something specifically. But the prayer of worship is different. And in the prayer of worship, we minister to the Lord. And that sets it apart from other types of prayer. A lot of the other types of prayer are petitions, asking for something, needing something. But the prayer of worship is where we minister to Him, where we're not going to Him with petitions. And some of this, we'll enter into some of this in this coming week also, where we're worshiping God. Do you know that while I was preparing this, I wasn't even really worshiping Him. I was just preparing the teaching to teach on worshiping Him. And He started talking to me and I started writing stuff down and I got some answers to some things. It was fabulous. I wrote a whole page out of stuff. Fabulous. Fabulous. Some things He told me to do. And He told me He's going to do something for me. Praise the Lord that I've been in faith over. And He said, I'll do it for you. And when I do it, I want this from you. Okay, Lord. Yeah. He's going to do something for me. But then He gave me things to do. And one of the things I'll just share with you is that He told me not to let money be an excuse for not doing things for Him. not to say I don't have the money for something. I'm not to say that to him, because he's going to start telling me to do some things, and I need to just do them. I need to believe I have it, and I need to do it, and so I'm going to. I'm just going to step out in faith and do some things. He told Pastor Brad to go get his pilot's license. It's very expensive to get your pilot's license. And so we kept thinking, well, maybe that's for in the future. That's probably in the future, you know, because it's not just getting it. If you just got it, you know, you can believe God to get it for the money. It's like $5,000, I think, to get it. But then you've got to maintain it. And so you're maintaining it for a long period of time, too. Because if you don't maintain it, you lose it, and you've got to start over. So you've got to maintain that license. And I'm going to go do it, too. How about that? And not only that, here's this. I don't know why. I don't know why yet. It's not something I'd put on the top of my list as the place to spend money. But if he's telling us to do it, he's got reasons, so we need to do it. Now, we have taken a little lesson here, and I think for our anniversary, we went out and took a flying lesson, and so we've done it a little bit here and there, but now I'm going to increase that pace a little bit. You know, praise the Lord. I mean, isn't it better to take money and spend it on something that God tells you to spend it on? So he's got reasons. He's got reasons. Sometimes some of the things he tells us to do, we think they're so far away, we wait. And it is good to wait, because you don't want to step out in front of God, but you also don't want to lag behind God. You want to be in God's timing. So this is not brand new information. This is something we've known for at least a year, maybe even a little bit more than that. And we've been praying about it, seeking God, taking little steps in it. You know, but now there's a quickening, like, go ahead, go do this now. So we're going to go do this. And I'm not going to say, I don't have the money. Okay? Right? So I'm not going to focus. I'm not going to put my eyes on how much money it costs. I'm just, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You want me to do that? Yes, Lord, I'll do that. I'll do that. And he's always been good. He's always been faithful to me. Every time we've stepped out and done something he's told us to do, the money's there. So now just step out. Just keep stepping out. Just keep stepping out. He's always met me in the past. He'll meet me in this too. So he's good. So praise the Lord. Just while I was preparing, he started showing me some things. He's a good God. So I'm expecting even greater. And I feel like that's just a little bit of the beginning. He's just going to start showing us stuff. He just told me he'd do something for me. I wasn't praying about it at that time. I was just preparing this. Isn't he good? He's really good. He's really good. He's good. Okay, Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, and that's the part I want you to see, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, right there, we have a fantastic demonstration of the prayer of worship. They were ministering to the Lord and fasting. And when they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. They were ministering to the Lord and fasting. In that kind of an atmosphere, we create an atmosphere for God to move because we're ministering to him. God created us because he wanted to have fellowship with us. A lot of times we just go to God and we have petitions. God, give me. God, I need. I need this. I need you to do that. I need you to fix this or fix that. God help, whatever it might be. Those are petitions. But this is where we just minister to him. We show our love to him, our thankfulness to him, and minister to him. But he's so good. When we do that for him, often he does things back for us. And then he starts ministering back to us because we've just blessed him and given to him. And then he ministers back. He wants our love and our worship and our fellowship. It's why he created us, was to have fellowship with us. So in this atmosphere of praise, we create a place where he can move and he can speak because we minister to him. And in this atmosphere of praise, he can make his will known. And this is what I'm expecting for next week. I'm expecting that we minister to the Lord. And I'm expecting to hear things without asking. I'm expecting to go and to worship Him. And I think the days and the evenings are going to be different. We'll pray different ways. Sometimes it might be loud, and sometimes it might be quiet, and sometimes it might be united prayer, and sometimes it may be praying in the Spirit. I bet we'll touch on just about everything that we've been teaching on in here. But there are going to be times where we just minister to the Lord. Whereas if there is anybody that is gifted with music, we may just ask him to come up here. We may read some scripture. What we're going to do is follow God, have an atmosphere where he can lead, where we don't have a set agenda, a set program, or even a set sermon. Because even sermons are set up not to minister to God, but to minister to people. So usually when we come together on Sunday mornings, we minister to one another. And even a lot of the songs, a lot of times, are ministering to each other, not necessarily always ministering to the Lord. So this is going to be a time that we set aside to minister to Him. I have witnessed people worship God and minister to the Lord, and I've watched people get delivered while they're doing that. Nobody prayed for deliverance for them, but just while they were singing unto the Lord and worshiping Jesus, praising God, they were delivered. There's power in praising God. I've witnessed that. I've witnessed somebody get delivered. God is good. All right, let's look at Acts chapter 16, verses 22. You're in Acts already. Just turn a couple chapters over. Acts chapter 16. Now we're all familiar with this account. This is where Paul and Silas were thrown in jail. They were beaten with rods and thrown in jail. And in verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Meaning this wasn't silent prayer. This wasn't silent worship. This was out loud, where the other prisoners were hearing them also. Imagine this. They've been beaten, and usually they would beat until one or two swats away from death. So when they beat, it was bad. Real bad. Bloody bad. Icky bad. Pain. Nasty jail. Not like somebody was there to clean up their wounds. Not like somebody was there to care for them. But here they are obeying God in the perfect will of God, and they get beaten and then thrown in jail. And we've probably talked about this before, you've heard this, but a lot of people at that point would probably start pointing fingers. Paul, you led us into this. You really missed it. You know? Oh, you really missed it this time. I mean, this couldn't have been God, because if this was God, this wouldn't have happened to us. If we were in the perfect will of God, this wouldn't be the situation we'd be in. Things would be looking good and sweet and rosy. Or how about whining and complaining? Oh, here I am serving God. And look what he lets happen to me. Thanks, God. Thanks a lot. Have you ever heard people talk like that? Get to that point. Why do I even bother? What's the point? Serve him and look what happens. Right? I mean, you know, let's just be realistic. I mean, really, sometimes people speak like this, don't they? And so it helps us to look at these kinds of accounts, to put a check on ourselves so that we don't fall into that same temptation. Because remember, we have other accounts of people that made different choices about whining and complaining. Remember the Israelites in the wilderness? What did they say? Oh, they would rather die in the wilderness. Oh, they should have been left in Israel as or in Egypt as slaves. And what did God say back to them? You'll get what you said. See, now that actually helps me, because it helps me put a check on my mouth when I think about that. Even if there's a temptation to want to complain or a feeling to go that direction, I think, oh, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just praise the Lord. It's going to get better. It's going to get better, right? I don't want the negative outcome. I want the positive outcome. Listen, we don't know what the outcome would have been in this situation had they not made these choices, and it may not have been the same outcome. If they were whining and complaining, I don't know that they would have been released. But they chose to praise God in the midst. Can you imagine? I mean, a good God, a loving dad, seeing them beaten in jail and still choosing to worship God in that situation. That's a right heart. Not going by the natural circumstances of woe is me. How about this? Everybody's got it better. You know those people that didn't go out and preach the gospel? You know our company, our companions that stayed at home? They're probably watching TV while these guys are in jail, right? Have you ever thought that? Oh, you know, my friends that bought the really big house, you know, because they're not preaching the gospel, so they went after money. And so now I'm watching them with all the great big careers, going on these huge vacations, out on big yachts, doing all this kind of stuff. But now I'm preaching the gospel. You ever thought like that? It's the wrong way to think, because we're not supposed to compare ourselves to other people. So Paul and Silas sitting here didn't compare themselves to the others that were in their company that didn't go out and preach. That's not what they did. They didn't compare themselves to everybody else. They sat there and chose to praise God. Do not compare yourself to other people, because you don't know what it's going to end up like for them anyway. This earth is temporary. The stuff on this earth is temporary. The materialism is temporary. The houses are temporary. The cars are temporary. The money is temporary. It's all temporary. You just keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and on the call of God that's on your life, and you be obedient to do what he tells you to do, and your outcome will be good. And then you'll be able to stand before him in heaven knowing you followed him, knowing you obeyed him. And he'll be able to say, well done, good and faithful. Well done. It's easy to be faithful when it's easy, right? It's easy to be faithful when everything's going your way. But you really know what somebody's made of when the going gets a little tough. And God knew what they were made of, because the going at this point was tough. So they were beaten, but they chose to sing, to pray and to sing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners heard. Now, how they dealt with this got them out of it. Let's just compare the children of Israel that got left in the wilderness until that generation died off. Why? Because they murmured and complained. And let's look at these guys and their responses. These guys chose not to murmur and complain. These guys chose to praise God. The result of their praising God was verse 26. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. That was the result. They were set loose. They were set free. Deliverance came for them when they were praising God. Let's go ahead and look a little bit at the early church. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2, since you're in Acts. Chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. The early church, from what we can see from this passage, didn't just once in a while worship God. But what we're going to see from this is that it was a lifestyle, or it was a habit, which is what we're trying to do in the Praise Life class with your praise journals, is to help you establish a life of praise. So in verse 46 and 47, and day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. In the King James, it says, it does in this one too, it says continuing. But in King James, it says continually. They were continually giving praises to God. Continually. Continually praising God. Continually meeting together with one mind or in one accord. Continually. Not some random occurrence, but continually meeting together. Not independently, but they were coming together. They were meeting in each other's homes, praising God. And then we see the results. People were being saved. We're going to look at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, start with verse 50. Now, again, we're just seeing what the early church was like and their lifestyle. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came about that while he was blessing them, he parted from them. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And verse 53, this is what I want you to see. And were continually in the temple praising God. So Jesus goes up, and what does the early church do? They're continually in the temple praising God. Praising God is ministering to God. It's creating an atmosphere where he can move. It's saying you want fellowship with God. It's communicating your love to him, communicating that you want to be with him. You want to spend time with him. It's honoring him. It's loving him. And they were doing it continually. I think we can get together and do it for 1 week, don't you? We can get together and sacrifice 1 week if the early church was doing it continually. We can get together and we can do this. And we can do it with such great joy in our hearts and such expectation that God will meet us. So I want you to prepare your hearts to come next week. But I want you to come with expectation, expecting great things from God, expecting that you are ready to minister to the Lord. Come wanting to bless him, not grudgingly, under compulsion, right? Because that's just like being a giver that doesn't really want to give but does it out of obedience. Don't come with that attitude in your heart because you don't get much out of it when you do. But come wanting to give to God. And I believe as you come wanting to give unto the Lord that he will bless you back. And he'll bless us corporately back also. So we covered tonight united prayer and the prayer of worship.